Here's a personal question that I may ask. Do you love your name? You like your name? There's a name in the United States that not many people do not like. When your name is Brandon, they do not like that. When your name is Karen, they don't appreciate that. So maybe Americans are very careful not to name their child Brandon or Karen. In the Philippines, there's one name also that have been very popular. And even if this name is popular, you may not like to name your daughter Marites. Anyway, you may have heard someone saying, "Don't judge if you are not a judge." These days, if you read news articles, reports about the government, you may have observed that there are many news articles about governments that are politically motivated. And it appears like reporters who favor particular political color behave like judges, and they add their personal judgment, their personal opinion, their personal notion to the reports. If reports do not favor the political agenda, they highlight the negative part, and they may magnify the positive part of the news if anything favors their favored political color. Consequently, loyal subscribers and logical thinkers cannot agree. They are polarized in their opinion. And politically motivated articles can maybe influence subscribers to favor their political agenda. So how should we believers react to media outlets that publish politically motivated articles? Celebrities, politicians, even church leaders, they are regularly scrutinized by media, and this judgmental behavior has become regular diet even in social media. It contaminated our society. This judgmental attitude, judgmental behavior has infected and polluted even the church. Do you sense any concern seriously? Well, it is a personal preference to be involved in politics. It's your choice to support a political, particular political color of your choice. Is it very easy for you to trust a politician? But if we cannot agree with particular authorities, as believers, we should pray instead. Pray for them. Even for those you like or you do not like, pray for them. Pray for political authorities, particular authorities. Why? That God, pray for godly wisdom. All authorities need godly wisdom. If God grants them wisdom, they would perform responsibly. And you want responsible authorities, right? It certainly favor constituents, even Christians. How about that? So instead of complaining against authorities, pray instead. Pray. Actually, it's not very pleasant if mindset is filled with negativities. It's disturbing experience. As Christians, we should respect all authorities, because the scripture says there's no authority except that which God has established. Authorities in school, authorities in a place of work, in the government, in the church, at home. The Lord wants everyone to have godly wisdom and be blessed. Try this for 1 year. And observe how God would move in your heart and in this situation if you sense disagreement. You sense that this person always opposes you. You are giving great idea or doing something great in your opinion, and yet this person just out of nowhere opposes you for no reason. Pray for godly wisdom. Pray that God grants godly wisdom to the person you cannot agree with. If you cannot agree with this person, Lord, I don't like this person, but I pray that you would fill him, give him godly wisdom, and fervently pray also for godly wisdom for yourself, and fill me also with your godly wisdom. If godly wisdom prevails between you and the person you don't agree, you disagree with, peaceful and joyful experience will prevail also, because it means that God has prevailed between you. Try that at home. If you don't like your father, pray for godly wisdom for your father. If you don't like your mother, pray for godly wisdom for your mother. If you don't like your brother, your sister, pray for godly wisdom. In your workplaces, don't like your seatmate or office mate or your supervisor, pray for godly wisdom. In school, if you don't like the person because that person is much wiser than you, more intelligent than you, pray for godly wisdom. Pray for godly wisdom also for you. Try that. You won't bother judging if you pray for others. You won't bother. You won't bother slandering others, gossiping for them, if you pray for godly wisdom for them. It's written in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Let's read this together meditatively. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's very tough. Why? Did you know that it favors us when we regularly pray for authorities or leaders? By faith, we believe that godly wisdom and godly activities favors godly people. If God grants wisdom to authorities, instead of complaining, instead of telling something you don't like about them, if God grants wisdom to those authorities, they perform for the welfare of their constituents, even Christians. Godly wisdom produces blessing that may inspire praise. When there's godly activities and you observe that, you would praise God. You would thank God. Imagine this for yourselves. Is it impossible that one day God may grant you authority wherever He situates, wherever He relocates you? Is it impossible? You don't know for sure, but it is possible. It is possible. Does God want you to be stagnant? Does God want you to be dormant where He situated you? No. God wants you to bless you so that you testify of His grace. Do you think so? You were not made to be stagnant. You were made to Did you sing a while back? We were made to thrive. Can you say that? We were made to thrive. Did God want you to be dormant where you are? No. We were made to thrive. Amen. May God enable you to thrive. Who wish to be promoted? Raise your hand. Want to be promoted? Are you sure you do not lie? Lord, I pray, please grant their wish to be promoted. If they want to be promoted, let it be known this day that we prayed for promotion for those who want to be promoted. But did you know that power and authority are inclusive, they are included in your promotion? If in perfect time of God comes, and the Lord ordains your promotion, you surely love subordinates to pray for you regularly, right? How wonderful that would be. When you know that your subordinates, when you are promoted, and the subordinate, even if that subordinate, if that person under you don't say, but you sense that person is praying for you, that would be a blessing. And regularly pray for our church leaders as well. When one day God moves your heart to accept your nomination to church leadership, you will appreciate when members pray regularly for you. If you won't be called to church leadership, perhaps your children will become future leaders one day. You will surely appreciate prayers for them also, right? So if we regularly pray for church leaders, we become blessing to His body, to the body of Christ, to the church. God will surely bless us when we pray for church leaders. Complain against church leaders cannot attract blessing. The Lord warns for every believer in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 to 32. The Lord's teaching us, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Personally, if our intention is to gather, we avoid complaints. So we pray instead. Our church welcomes everyone who wishes to listen to the Word of God, but we don't know specifically if applicants for church membership are genuine believers or just pretenders. Outside appearance can deceive anyone, but we don't judge anyone. We trust that Christ gathers all He wants to become active part of His body, the church. Are you part of the body of Christ? Now imagine your body, physical body. If one part of your body is not active, what would that mean? Sadly, confusion may happen to any local church, but how should we respond when individuals cause confusion among us? We pray that they gather, not scatter. So why does God allow confusion? What is blasphemy that cannot be forgiven? What do you understand about blasphemy? Blasphemy is slander, malicious libel, defamation, and gossip. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in this work is very dangerous and unforgivable sin, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. Whatever he says is true. If he says that blasphemy will not be forgiven, listen, pay attention to anything you say against the church and the church leaders. Why? How do you know if the Holy Spirit is at work in the church or not? How do you know if the Holy Spirit is talking through the church leaders or not? How do you know if what you said, what you uttered against church leaders, against the church, is also against the Holy Spirit or not? Anyone who scatters believers away from the body of Christ, the church, that anyone is an enemy of the Lord. That anyone is against the Lord. If Christ is active in us, listen carefully. If Christ is active in us, we gather believers to be active part of his body. So keep praying that God would bless you to gather instead of scattering. Pray that God would bless our church leaders with enthusiasm of gathering believers to the Lord. And pray that the Maples Evangelical Church, our church, will be protected, covered from malicious gossip, from libel, from slander. In verse 11, let's read again. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speak against the law and judges. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Can you go back to verse 11? Yeah. I don't know if this is the original or it is... Or originally it meant like that, but or the NIV, New International Version, made it that way, that brothers comes first than sisters. Most of the time when we talk about gossip, we think about women. But it says here brothers first, meaning, what is that? What are other terms for slander? Malicious gossip. Slander means damaging, defamation. Slander means libel. That's slander. This godly command, do not slander one another, means do not be a malicious gossip. Do not be a damaging person who spread defamation. Do not libel. This godly command, do not slander one another, is the exact opposite of what human instinct naturally wants to do. That is what human wants to do, brothers and sisters. They slander. Remember that whenever a command from the Lord starts with do not, that activity that God forbids is for us to do exactly. That's the exact activity we instinctively do. It's very natural for us to do anything that the Lord commands us, do not. That is why God gives command, do not. If, for example, slander is not instinctive or natural, sinful, natural to the sinful self, then that command is not useful, right? It's not useful if it is not instinctive for us. Brothers and sisters, Do not slander one another. Keep remembering that we need the help of the Lord to follow His instruction according to godly standard. So it says, do not slander. We pray, Lord, I cannot help it, but enable me. It's a warning. It's a judgmental attitude to spread malicious defamation against fellow believers. It violates God's law. It's rebellion to Him. It's sin. So when we gossip, we sin. We rebel against the Lord. Malicious gossip has objective to damage reputation. Why would one gossip for this? That person would like the other person not to like the other person. That is why. You want that person, that gossiper, to picture that person as not very admirable person. Damaging reputation. Slanderous accusation was actually very abused in the behavior of Jewish leaders who persecuted Jesus Christ. Those who opposed the Lord Jesus Christ, they were slanderous. At one particular Sabbath day, Jesus healed a man born blind. And the Pharisees and Jewish leaders considered that miracle on Sabbath day as violation to their tradition. So they investigated what happened. Let's read John chapter 9, verse 24 to 34. Second time, this man, the man who had been blind, give glory to God by telling the truth, he said, we know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. You know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. The Pharisees, they hold the highest standard of righteousness according to tradition. If anyone who is righteous in the world, those were the Pharisees. They should know that God listens to godly person who does his will. So, of course, they felt insulted when the former blind lectured on them. When he told them, we know that God won't listen to a sinner. He listens to the person who does his will. Unfortunately, the Pharisees were deprived of that ability to identify the miraculous work of God. Why? Because their heart were filled with greed for power, greed and selfishness for human praise. They insulted the former blind man that Jesus healed as steeped in sin at birth. How do they know that man born blind was steeped in sin at birth? They just judged him. It is in their eyes. Those Jewish leaders were very quick to accuse and slander Christ as sinner. They charge Christ as sinner because they hold the standard of righteousness in their tradition. In comparison, Jesus Christ healed the blind man. He did not insult him. And later, Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 39 to 41, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see. Those who see will become blind." Jesus, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now you claim you can see. Your guilt remains. Personally, have your eyes, have your spiritual eyes been opened? Have you truly believed that Jesus Christ can save you from eternal punishment? Can Jesus Christ save you from slander? Can Christ save you from the temptation of gossip? Do you believe that God will judge all people? When judgment day comes, will you be included with those who are saved?" Verse 12, let's read. "There is only one lawgiver in charge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Now, slanderous gossip are judgmental toward others. Judgmental statement, defamatory. Defamation or libel, these are violation of godly commands. Malicious gossip, it's like they want to step on you to elevate themselves. When they slander, when they defame, when they gossip, when they say libelous statements, they imply that they are higher than you. They are on the higher level. I am. Indirectly, they are saying, "I am better than you." Slanderous, malicious statements, these are judgmental. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, we read this a while back, but be reminded again, "Do not judge, for you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, what are the consequences of judgmental attitude? It cannot benefit us. Judgmental attitude is judgment against us, actually. It condemns us with similar reckless slander, malicious gossip, damaging defamation, libel against others. That's senseless. It says, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the same gossip you gossip against others, you will be gossip. In the same way you slander others, you will be slandered. In the same way you defame others, you would be defamed. The same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, how much is slander, how much gossip, how much defamation, libel you have spread, that would be similar measurement be given to you. It's senseless. Hanging around slanderous gossipers, following them on social media, can infect mindset negatively. Think again. You may want to unfollow those slanderous celebrities, politicians. What name was used to identify individuals who gossip or slander in the Philippines? You don't like that name. You don't like not to name your children or grandchildren. But practice that. Practice this habit. Practice as a habit, not telling slanderous things. Practice it as a habit to tell nothing but the truth. Pray, Lord, help me that everything I say would be truth. If I am tempted to lie, prevent me, O Lord. If I'm tempted to gossip, prevent me, Lord. Help me tell the truth, only the truth. You would invite blessing into your life. Naturally, our human instinct, when we are slandered, when we are gossiped, we respond negatively when unpleasant words strikes us. It's persuasive human impulse to retaliate. Well, that is what you do to me, I will do this to you too. Worse, especially when we are consumed with emotional hurt, especially when you are have problem and that person would defame you, a problem with your family and still you heard something gossiping against you. Those were unguarded moments of difficulties, unguarded moments of struggles. It may expose our human vulnerability. This is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit always. If you can, remember, each time you are awake, each time before or even after you do something, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything. I don't understand even why I ask, but fill me always. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, even unguarded moments, you will act according to the will of God. You will behave like a believer of Christ. We can learn from King David. The time when his son Solomon tried to grab the kingdom of Israel from him, that would have been very tough for David. But what he did, he quietly left Jerusalem. His loyal soldiers followed him. Instead of fighting his right as king, I am the king, I am anointed king, he didn't fight for that right. Instead, they just escaped. He feels so sad. He's emotionally vulnerable, if you would. But while King David and his loyal army left Jerusalem, they passed by a tribe or a village, and a man named Shimei insulted and cursed him. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5 to 13. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and special guards were on David's right and left. He cursed. Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because of your murder. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? Then David said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me, and what's more, this Benjamite, leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me his covenant blessing instead of his curse today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. Look at that. Shimei was very brave. He was so angry with David. He thought that it was David who caused the death of his relative King Saul. Now, look at that. A single man, person, Shimei, walking on top of a hill, and there you are. 10,000 soldiers surrounded David, and he was throwing stones. He was not scared because he was filled with anger against David. Why did David become king? Tuloy, wala na kaming kamag-anak na king. Sorry for that, Nikhil. Might be saying, "You, David, you are the cause of the death of King Saul. This is why we have no more real king relative." Shimei was relative of King Saul. Well, you heard it said, when it rains, it pours, right? We experienced that the past week. But that expression pertains to successive problems. Problems one after another. There's problem, then another problem comes. When it rains, it pours. You have difficult problem, expect more problems to come. Why did God allow King David to be disrespected by his own son, Absalom, and a relative of King Saul, Shimei? The humble David had presumed that the Lord may be testing him. He might have thought about that when Shimei insulted, when Shimei cursed him. Well, Abishai wanted to retaliate for David. He just didn't want his king to be disrespected. Abishai was the son of Zeruiah. Zeruiah was a sister of King David. As King of Israel, King David exemplified to his nephew Abishai and to all his officials how believers should respond to insults, how believers should respond to curses. So when you hear somebody cursing about you, when you hear somebody gossiping about you, when you hear someone slandering you, think like King David. It might be that God allowed that person to curse me. But pray like King David. Hope in the Lord that the Lord would restore his blessing to you, just as he restored the kingdom of Israel to him. His son Absalom, he tried to grab the kingdom from his father. Shimei, a relative of King Saul, insulted King David. He cursed him. He threw stone at him. He showered him with dirt. But still, King David hoped that the Lord will look upon his misery and restore his kingship. Indeed, it happened. King David did not retaliate against Absalom and Shimei. He can easily destroy them, but he did not. Absalom died in battle. Shimei, he caused his own death when he violated what King Solomon told him. When King David transferred his throne to King Solomon, King David particularly instructed Solomon, "Remember what Shimei did to me, your father. By your wisdom, do what you think best." What did King Solomon said to Shimei? He called Shimei
come and live in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem, not in Bahurim. He was from Bahurim, outside Jerusalem. Come stay in Jerusalem. Oh, that would be good. I would not kill you. But the very time you leave Jerusalem, you will be dead. That would be great, Shimei said. I would love to be in Jerusalem. He lived in Jerusalem. Shimei might have been a rich person because he had slaves, he had servants. But 3 years later, his servants escaped from him, went to Gaza, and Shimei wanted to get back his servants, his slaves, went to Gaza. Now, the King Solomon said, once you leave Jerusalem, you will be dead. And when Shimei returned to Jerusalem, King Solomon summoned him. Shimei, come here. Yes, sir. I told you that if you leave Jerusalem, you will be dead. And you said that is great, that is good. You agree with it, right? Yes, sir. Then you are dead. Was it God's judgment for the disrespect of King David? Did God allow Absalom to die and Shimei to die because they disrespected David, the anointed king of God? The anointed king that God anointed for Israel. It warns in Psalm 105, verse 15. Let's read this. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Listen carefully. It's the Lord who warns this. Personally, how do you know when authorities are anointed by the Lord? How do you know? How do you know when church leaders are anointed by the Lord? How do you know? It is best to avoid judgmental attitude and not violate God's command. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harms. These days, prophets are considered deliverers of God's message or messengers of God. Those are the prophet that God pertains to. The Lord is observing all of us. He will judge lifestyle, our manners, and our attitudes. We have to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit always, always, so that everything we think, everything we do, even everything we say, make sure that we would earn eternal treasures in heaven and we earn godly rewards. Shall we stand up? Let's ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit for us to avoid slandering one another, that the Lord would remove from us judgmental attitude towards authorities, even church leaders, one another. Shall we do that?